All right, let's give it up for the band for leading us in worship. Another one in the fire and a blessing over us. This is amazing. Welcome to Easter at Genesis Metro Church. And I hope today that you and your family, whether you attend our services or not, are going to find a message of hope. Today I've entitled the message, Not What I Expected. I found that everything in life is about expectations, whether they're stated or unstated. Whenever someone does not meet our expectations, there is a giant question mark in our souls. And I think that right now is a place where people are asking those questions. People are asking, how is this going to end? How is this going to affect me? And I hope today that I can give you a message that answers that question. Not too long ago, I was out on a fishing trip with a friend. And as we were preparing for the fishing trip, I usually get the stuff ready with the boat and all of those things. And then inevitably there's going to be a food situation that arises because we usually fish 10, 12 hour days. And I was talking with this particular person and I was asking him, like, what is your lunch plan for tomorrow? Are you bringing anything? And he said, well, I actually had just smoked a piece of pork and I was going to make pork sandwiches. And I was like, pork sandwich? Count me in. Do you have enough for me? And he was like, yeah, I got plenty. And so he said, all right, I'll bring you two. And so I go out the next day. We load the boat. We travel to the destination. It's a couple hours there. We're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we usually fish till 11, 12, 1. And it usually slows down a little bit in the afternoon. So we have our sandwiches. And I, being the good boat captain that I am, I was cognizant of my people that were with me. And it was about 11 o'clock and I was like getting hungry. And I said, you know what? Are you guys ready to have some lunch? By the way, it is super cold and we're frigid and the fishing was a little slow as well. And so the guy that I was with said, yeah, I'm hungry. And I said, well, let's run down to this next spot and then we'll fish it and we'll have lunch. So we went down, we got out of the wind and we put our poles down and that allows us to be anchored. And I hopped down off the front deck and I got into the ice chest area and I opened it up and there were 5 sandwiches. And it was me, my friend, and his son. And as I looked at these 5 sandwiches, I got them out with anticipation because you put me and a pork sandwich together, we have a recipe for success. And so I get the sandwiches out and I'm gonna divvy them up to everyone and I put 2 on the back, I put 2 over in the front deck where the sun was, and then I grabbed my sandwich and I quickly opened it up and as I opened it up, I looked and it wasn't a pork sandwich. And I looked up at the guy that had made them and that had promised me this glory. And he said, I said, where's the pork sandwich? He said, oh, I put it in the freezer. So I just made a peanut butter and jelly instead. Peanut butter and jelly? Have you ever had your mind on a pork sandwich and someone hands you a peanut butter and jelly? That is not what I expected, but it gets worse. As I open it up, I take a bite, and I bite into it. Peanut butter and jelly, folks. Peanut butter and jelly. When you say jelly, there's only one jelly in a peanut butter and jelly. That's grape jelly. This was peanut butter and strawberry. I look up at the guy, like, this is not peanut butter and jelly. He's like, well, it's peanut butter and strawberry. And I was like, strawberry is a preserve. Notice this graphic right here that we will put on the screen. That is not jelly. That is not what I expected. And so I looked at him and I was expressed some displeasure because I was hangry. And I eat my one sandwich and he and his son eat the 2 other PB&Ss. And we finish up our day. We get back to the ramp. And I gotta say, I'm still a little dissatisfied in the fuel tank. And I'm unscrewing the graph off the front of the boat. And I look up on the back deck. And there the pork promiser was. And a mysterious 6th sandwich comes out of his pocket, and as I look up, he is biting into it. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. There were 5 sandwiches at lunch, and now a 6th appears. You had 2. Your son had 2. I had 1. I had 1 PB&S. That's my PB&S. Man, I know you're saying, Tim, you're getting pretty worked up about a pork sandwich. Well, that's just the way that I am. PB&S never satisfied any soul. And so I wanted to talk about unmet expectations. I want to talk about living inside of those question marks. I want to talk about how we can escape the question marks. We're going to go from Jonah to Judas to Jesus. And I think at the end, we're going to have answers for any question that you might ask. You know, during this time of quarantine, I've noticed a lot of people are watching different movies, old series that are on TV, and they're binge watching new Netflix and Hulu. And I happened to be perusing, and I saw that old show Castaway, Tom Hanks' 1993 classic. I thought about, if there was a movie that typifies not what I expected, it was this one. He gets on a plane and he expects it to go just like normal. You go to the airport, you get on the plane, you take off, you have a terrible snack, and you arrive and you go about your business. But in mid-flight, they experience an unexpected storm. And then in the midst of that storm, there was an mismarked package that caught fire. The plane explodes, and the next thing you know, in a horrific sequence that everybody imagines whenever you're in turbulence, the plane begins to go down. And as it goes down, it hits the water. He happens to escape, and he's in this raft, and he ends up on this island, and he's marooned there. And it's this godforsaken place. It would be much like quarantine during the corona season to me. I feel so helpless. I want to be here today with you, and yet we'll show you some pictures. This is not what I expected for Easter 2020. I imagine none of you watching this morning, that this is what you expected for Easter 2020. I think about all the students that are seniors, and they don't get to go to their prom. The baseball players don't get to play. I think about the teachers that are having to learn how to do their profession in a completely different way with no time to learn how to do it. I think about the small business owner that doesn't have business coming in right now. And they're getting ready to make some hard decisions when it comes to their employees and the lives and the fates of their employees. I think about those in the medical field right now that have to go to work fearing for their lives and then have to go home fearing they might contaminate their kids. This is not the way we expected 2020 to go. There are so many question marks. We left Jonah last week. He was preaching to a city, a short one-verse sermon, which I suppose many of you hope to hear today, but too bad. And as he preaches this one-verse sermon, the whole city repents. 120,000 souls are saved. And you would think that Jonah would be excited. Cloud nine, best sermon I ever preached. But instead, the Bible says in chapter 4 that he was exceedingly angry. He was mad at God. And he explains the whole story of what has happened up until this point and sums it up in the first 3 verses. It says that he was exceedingly angry, and he says to God, "This is exactly why I didn't want to come here. I knew that if I came here, that this is what you would do. I know the type of God you are. That's why I got in the boat, and that's why I was trying to flee to Tarshish." He said, "Because you are a merciful God. You're a God that is gracious. You abound in love, and you are quick to turn away from sending disaster because our sin demands it. You always are trying to find a way to forgive. You're always trying to love the unlovable." Isn't it crazy? In an Old Testament prophet story, a lot of times we say Old Testament and we think that's the God that sent fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, opened up a hole in Korah's rebellion, or sent the plagues on the country of Egypt. We think of, some people I've even heard say, we went Old Testament style on somebody whenever they had beat them down in a football game or a basketball game. And yet here is Jonah And he says, I know the kind of God that you are. All the way from the beginning, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and in eternity, Jonah said, I know your heart. This is the kind of God that we have. A God that is gracious. A God that is merciful. A God that is abounding in love. A God that is quick to find a way to forgive you. And yet Jonah's upset, and God asks him a question. And the book of Jonah is one of only two books in the Bible, the other one being Lamentations, that ends on a question mark. He says to Jonah, in verse 11, there are 120,000 souls that are lost. He said, should I not have had compassion on them? Should I not have been concerned for them? Should I have just let them die and perish? And that's the way the book ends. Isn't that crazy? We don't know. What does Jonah do? His book ends on a question mark. And I thought, man, if ever there was a time where we could explore the struggles of our own faith, when people right now are trying to figure out how and what and where, and I think a lot of us have those questions. And Jonah certainly had those questions. He kind of felt like if you were bad, then you deserved God's judgment. And I'm here to tell you right now that we've all done bad things. Our sin cries out for judgment, and yet, aren't you glad that we have that kind of God? A God that is gracious, merciful, abounding in love, and is always trying to find a way to forgive you. I thought about those questions as we were entering the Easter season. And I started looking at the tie-ins from Jonah to Jesus. And Matthew 26 gives a summation of Jesus entering into Jerusalem during the week of the Passion. And in Matthew 26, if you read through it, I don't have time to read all the verses today, but in the first several verses, it says that the politicians and the priests had gathered together and they were conspiring about how they might kill Jesus. But they knew they needed to do it in a secretive manner because his popularity had grown so much that they couldn't take him while he was in public. And so they are plotting of how they might pursue Jesus and take his life. And it goes down through and it says that after that, 2 days from the cross, 2 days from when Jesus would give his life, that there was a dinner party, that Simon the leper, who was a converted Pharisee, who had had an incurable disease, invited Jesus to dinner. And as Jesus is sitting at dinner, it says that this woman came in with an alabaster jar. And as she walks in with this jar, it says that she cracked the jar, and then she took the oil or the perfume, and she began to anoint Jesus's feet. And while she was anointing Jesus's feet, it says that the disciples became indignant. One in particular named Judas. And Judas said, why this waste? Why this waste? And then he gives a faux cause. He says, we could have sold it and given it the money to the poor, but the Bible says that his heart was really to steal. He had an ulterior motive in mind, but he was dressing it in a pure cause. Why this waste? Jesus said that this is not wasteful. He said her goal is to prepare my body for burial. That it was actually a prophetic act. That she knew who I was. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is constantly trying to reveal that he's the Son of God, but so many people that we expected to pick up on the answer were lost in the darkness, blinded by their own vision of what they wanted God to be. And here this woman unexpectedly cracks this jar of perfume and begins to anoint his feet, and it's dramatic. This fragrance fills the air, and Judas sees it as waste. Like, am I missing something? That a gift to Jesus would be waste? I started thinking about the Easter message, and I wanted to take a moment to give a challenge. I think sometimes in this modern era of church that we've forgotten what Christianity is about, or in some cases maybe redefined it. I think sometimes we're thinking like, how does Christianity benefit me? And we might look at our time or our energy or our money and we say, you know, well, I mean, I want to put it over here. And we're trying to decide. And sometimes we might even think like, would it be wasteful to give my money to God? And would it be wasteful to, I don't have time to devote to God? And why this waste keeps coming up in our mind? Whenever he says this, Jesus rebukes him and says, this is not waste. This is for my glory. And just to let you know, Judas, for the rest of time, when they tell my story, they'll tell her story, because it was about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says that Judas left that moment and went and talked to the Pharisees. Judas asked, how much can I get for Jesus? How much can I get for Jesus? He sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver. How much can I get for Jesus? And I thought, herein, so many people have questions that answer, I think, is wrapped in that alabaster box. That when our mind is living in the question mark, we think, what do I stand to gain? How can I benefit? What can I get for Jesus? But when our heart is right, and when our spirit is right, and when we are living for him, desiring to bless his holy name, what gift could ever be enough that would repay him for the greatness that he has given to us? We see Jesus as worthy of our very best. Christianity, here's the news flash for you today. Christianity is not for your benefit. Christianity is for the glory of God, for the gift he has given. It is not meant for your benefit. It is meant to save you and then teach you how to love others better. This whole concept of like, what do I stand to gain? What can I get for Jesus? No, you're co-opting the cross and making it about you when it was supposed to be about Jesus. That is the Easter message of Matthew chapter 26. Judas, in his mind, was living in a question mark of how much can I get for Jesus? I thought so many other questions were asked in the events that happened next. As Jesus is being arrested, I think all the disciples were asking, what is going on? They take Jesus and they begin to go through a series of trials. In the process, he's beaten, he's punched. A faux crown of thorns is placed upon his head. He's strapped to a cross. He's led up a hill, and as they're driving the nails in his hands, I'm sure they were asking Jesus, why are you letting this happen to you? We've seen your power. Why are you letting this happen to you? The Bible says with one last breath, he said, it is finished. And he breathed his last. And as his head hung down, you could hear a collective question being asked by all of his disciples. How can this be happening? For them, Jesus' death was nothing but a question mark. They take his body down and they lay it in a borrowed tomb and they roll the stone into place. And as they roll the stone into place, all the light vanishes inside that tomb. And with it, you could begin to hear by their actions, the disciples, the apostles, even their leader, Peter, he begins to ask the final question, was it worth it? Was leaving everything on the seaside, was it worth it? Was putting my life in peril and putting my family's expectations and saying that this guy was all of these things, was it worth it? Peter said, I think I'm going to go back to fishing. He was having a crisis of belief. And I don't think we could fault him. I think if we were there, we'd be asking ourselves the same question. As a matter of fact, I think we might be asking some of the same questions right now. I think as we're sitting here in quarantine and there's so much uncertainty, we might be asking, what's going on? Why are you allowing this? How can this be happening? You know the great thing about our God? He says, ask me the questions. Ask me the questions. Ask me the tough ones. Ask me, why God? Why me? Why now? Ask him. Bring him to me. But when you ask me, please wait for me to answer you. Because he said, the third day is coming. Just, I know you've asked, but just let me answer. The third day, it's coming. That answers are rising. Life is reviving. Oh my gosh, hope is breathing. Light is defeating the darkness. And all of a sudden, Jesus rises from the grave. And the good news, the answer to any question that you might be asking right now, that is in Christ we win. In Christ we overcome. In Christ we actually welcome the suffering and we allow it to grow us. In Christ, he beckons us to embrace our cross and go charging into the fire, rescuing the perishing. Christianity and the message of the cross and the subsequent empty tomb is not for your benefit. It's for his glory, and so that you might love others with the only message that can save them and satisfy their soul. I hope today that you have been encouraged. I hope today that you will take this message, because more than ever, people are slipping into eternity unprepared. And God desires for us to share this life-saving, hope-giving, light-bearing message so that they could find the peace that you possess. Thank you, and I hope you have a great Easter day.